And so this week, I didn't really have anything to preach. So while I was in New York, I was just praying. I was like, God, what's something that you feel like 99 needs to hear right now? What's a prophetic word that you have for the people in this moment right now? And I kept getting the word tired. How many of you are tired? You know, daylight savings just happened. How many of you are tired? How many of you are tired from work, tired from life, tired from your circumstances, tired from relationship, tired from the Lakers losing again and again? How many of you are tired? And the question I want you to ask you is, have you ever been too tired to sleep? You know, when Zion was first born, I don't know if you've ever reached that level of tired, but I'd never been more tired than when my firstborn was born. I was so tired that I like couldn't sleep. Have you ever been in that place? Like you're so exhausted and so weary that the one thing that could give you strength and rest, you actually can't do. So I remember sometimes Zion would go down and my body's telling me you need to sleep, but I just wouldn't. I was just too tired to sleep. I find that there's a type of fatigue that attacks the body, right? When we stay up late and we wake up early, when we work and work and work without a break, when we use coffee or energy drinks to fuel us through the day, when we don't exercise and we eat junk food, there's a type of fatigue that attacks the body. But there's another kind of fatigue that attacks the soul. When there's too much that we're processing in our minds, when we're trying to manage all the emotions we're feeling, when we're constantly bombarded by things on social media, when we're overwhelmed by life's circumstances. And I get a sense that in this season, right now, so many of us aren't just tired physically, but we're tired on the inside. Our souls are weary. And not only are we tired, but we're tired of being tired. We're tired of worrying about our work situation, tired of working through difficult relationships, tired of seeing death and injustice on a global scale. We're tired of waiting on God. But the thing about soul fatigue is this, it's that it's often hard to diagnose, right? When you work out, I'm assuming, because I don't do it a lot, but when you work out, your body will tell you when it's time to stop. Your body will tell you when it's tired, when it's finished. But it's often hard to gauge the health of our souls, right? We're not as aware of those signs that our souls are growing weary. And the danger is that if we're not intentional, we can unknowingly run ourselves into the ground. And so we have to take time to ask ourselves, how am I really doing? How is my soul doing? And so today, I have a very simple message, but one that I think is needed for so many of us right now in this season. And it's this: Jesus meets us in the middle of our tiredness, and he comes to give strength and rest to our weary souls. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are here with us. And when you show up, you know, you're not like that guest that comes empty-handed. Whenever you show up, you have something for us. You have your portion, your gift, your blessing. And today, I just sense that so many of us need your rest and your strength. Some of us, we haven't even been able to pinpoint or put language to the weariness of our souls. But I pray that today you would shine a light on our need for your rest and your strength. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to look at John chapter 4, 1 through 5. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Now, the phrase that I want us to pay attention to here is this. He had to go through Samaria. The fact is, he actually didn't have to go through Samaria at all. In fact, most people at that time didn't. The Jews would try to avoid Samaria at all costs. You know, y'all been driving in the city before. You know there are some streets you just need to avoid because there's a lot of potholes, a lot of nails, right? Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. Most of the people at that time didn't. They would pass over it, or they would work around it. During this time, if you know, there was serious tension between the Jews and Samaritans. Jews viewed Samaritans as second-class citizens, as beneath them, as unclean and impure. And when they were making this journey, they would turn what was supposed to only be a 3-day journey into a 6-day journey just to go around and avoid Samaria. But it says here in Scripture that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And the question I feel like God is asking is, what are you working around in your life that God is actually calling you to work through? What are you avoiding that God is actually calling you to confront? You know, maybe some of us just need to get real and confront our unhealthy work-life balance. We know that we're grinding at a pace that's not sustainable. And we keep telling ourselves we'll be okay and that it'll pass. It's only for a season. When the truth is, we're not willing to confront our unhealthy relationship with work. Maybe some of us need to confront our unhealthy relationship with social media. Ooh, I felt a wave of conviction sweep across the room. We know it's causing us more anxiety and insecurity and weariness, but we keep telling ourselves, I have a grip over it. Come on, social media doesn't have a handle on me. I'm the one with the handle at Mickey Cho, right? And we end up working around it instead of actually working through it. Maybe some of us need to confront the fact that I'm just not okay. I'm not okay right now. I need help. I need community. I need Jesus. And I can't keep going on like this. Watching the live action adaptation of Avatar: The Last Airbender got me rewatching the animated series. And I actually finished it in New York when I was there. Such a good series. But I realized, first of all, I was trying to type each character and see what Enneagram they were. And I was like, Aang is probably a 7 or a 9, right? But if you think about the main character, Aang's main character development, the way that he grows as a person, it's the fact that he would avoid difficult or painful circumstances, avoid painful or negative thoughts or conversations, and he'd always try to find a way to work around them. So instead of training to fight the Fire Lord, right, he would play with this air ball and play with this little whatever animal that is, Momo. He would find ways to avoid instead of confronting the very thing he needed to. And I think for many of us, God is asking, what are you working around in your life that I'm actually wanting you to work through? When I think about the time that I was the most tired in my life, I actually had an emotional burnout during the pandemic. You know, y'all were resting at home, not resting, but y'all were working at home. I was working at home too, but I realized during that season, I was running myself into the ground. I was video producer. I was songwriter and song maker. I was putting all these production things together by myself. And I realized I was running myself into the ground. One night at like 3 a.m., Krista comes up to me and says, are you okay? And I just broke down. Had an emotional breakdown. I was ready to quit ministry at that time. I was unwilling to face the reality that I was running myself into the ground. I kept making excuses for it and finding ways to work around it. But what we see is that Jesus had to go through Samaria. We follow a Savior who was willing to face head on all the things that we normally work around. Right? Some of us need to walk through Samaria right now. Some of us need to confront our weariness. Some of us need to confront the things that are making our souls so tired. Some of us need to confront our depression, our grief, our anger, to put language to it, to acknowledge it, and to face it head on. You know, I used this illustration a number of years ago, but we all want helicopter Jesus, right? Some of y'all are like, yeah, amen. You don't know what I'm talking. Helicopter Jesus? We all want helicopter Jesus. What I mean by that is we want Jesus to swoop in the middle of our storms like a helicopter, throw down the ladder, pick us up out of the storm and carry us to greener pastures, out of the struggle, out of the circumstance, out of the painful moments that we're experiencing. But Jesus in Scripture never promised to be our helicopter. He promised to be our anchor. Not to pull us out of the storm, but to pull us through the storm. And scripture actually says that Jesus is the anchor for our souls. And maybe our prayers need to shift from God, deliver me from this circumstance, God, save me from this thing that I'm experiencing, to God, hold me through this. Show me what you're doing in the midst of all of this. Do what you need to do in me through this. What's interesting is that Jesus stops at a place in Samaria called Sychar, which translates in the Greek to end. And think about this. Jesus was there at the end. And I wonder if there are some of us here today that are also at the end. We feel like we're at the end of our ropes, at the end of our strength, at the end of our hope, at the end of our waiting. But here's the beautiful thing that scripture promises us. Jesus is waiting for us right there at the end. Jesus is waiting for us there at the end of our strength, at the end of our hope, and there at the end of ourselves, Jesus is waiting to meet us. We go on to verse 6. It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. I think one of the most comforting things that we could find in this passage is that Jesus got tired too. You know, we love to sing about victorious Jesus, almighty Jesus, powerful Jesus, mighty Jesus, positive, encouraging, K-love Jesus, but we forget about tired Jesus. You know, I have a few friends who are working on a worship project right now that's going to come out soon on all platforms, centering Asian American voices and songwriters in the worship genre. They're pretty much going to be the Asian Maverick City. It's really cool. Call it, I don't want to say anything racist. Okay. A while back, I was having a conversation with some of these people, and we were talking about how Western Christianity has been so influenced by privilege, right? An overwhelming majority of the songs that we sing, the books that we read, the sermons that we hear, just so happen to be written by white people. And there's nothing wrong about that. And so we hear a lot about victory and triumph and glory. And I remember he said this line that I thought was a mic drop. He's like, we are more than conquerors became the narrative of Christianity because they were literally conquerors. And so that's the vantage point that many of us grew up in the Western church. But my friend was saying how the early church was shaped not by privilege, but by struggle. They were the oppressed. They were the outcasted. They were the persecuted. Western Christianity doesn't have a lot to say about tired Jesus. The Jesus who understood the struggle. The Jesus who was rejected. The Jesus who was marginalized. The Jesus who suffered. And this is why I don't knock our church for being predominantly Asian. We offer a unique perspective and vantage point that the body of Christ needs. In many ways, our stories help the church understand this view of Jesus that is so integral to our faith. The tired Jesus, the Jesus that was willing to sit in our weariness with us. And the beauty of Christianity is that we follow a Savior who understands what we're going through. Listen, we worship a God who's powerful enough to give us strength, yet human enough to sit with us when we're tired. He meets us in our weariness and says, I understand. I've been tired before too. I've been right where you are. And hear me, church, just because you're weary doesn't mean you're weak. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he goes on to say, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Just because you're weary doesn't mean that you're weak. The end of your rope, scripture says, is the beginning of God's way. The end of your strength is the beginning of God's strength. And when we are weak, we tap into a strength that can come from no other place but God. And I want to propose that some of us have yet to tap into the grace or the strength of God because we've never reached the end of ourselves, where we lay down and surrender and say, God, I need you. Where we confess, my way isn't working, I can't do it on my own, and I need you. Jesus meets us in our weariness. He's lived it, he's experienced it, and he knows how to lead us out of it. We fast forward a little bit to verse 13. It says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The last question I want to ask you is this. Where do you go when you're tired? What well do you sit at when you're weary? What water do you drink when you're thirsty? Because some of us, we're going to the well of toxic relationships and it's making us more and more tired. We're going to the well of Netflix and Love is Blind is making us more blind. We're going to different wells and expecting these things to satisfy our souls. But you can't solve soul fatigue with an external solution. You know, I never understood weighted blankets. I think they're kind of demonic, honestly. Like, I don't understand it. Like, why would you? For me, I'm the type of guy, I need to sleep with one leg out of my blanket, okay? I just need that. When weighted blanket, you're like trapped in there. It's a little claustrophobic. But I guess weighted blankets are supposed to help you sleep better and get better rest. I just never understood it. But listen, as effective as weighted blankets claim to be, they can give your body rest, but they don't have the ability to give your soul rest. Right? External solutions cannot solve soul problems. Only water for the soul can quench your soul's thirst. What if the wells that we're sitting at are actually making us more and more tired? Jesus is talking to this woman at the well, and she's trying to solve her soul problem with external solutions, specifically with partners, with romantic love and sex and lust. And maybe we're trying to solve our problems by self-medicating through escapism, TV shows, video games, social media, sex. Maybe we're trying to deal with our soul problems with earthly self-help. Maybe we're trying to solve our soul problems with food or other things that are trying to satisfy our cravings that just quite aren't scratching the itch. Maybe the key to rest isn't inactivity, but the right activity. Like, have you ever taken a day off and like, It actually left you feeling more tired than when your day started, right? You isolated yourself. You ate like crap. You vegged out and binged Love is Blind. You're not speaking from personal experience. I'm just saying these are just some examples. But the key to rest isn't necessarily inactivity, but the right activity. And Jesus is saying here, I have water that will quench the thirst you have inside of you. I have rest that your soul desperately longs for. And so my one invitation to you today that I feel like the Holy Spirit is extending, would you sit with Jesus for a little while? Do you have a place you can go where you can be nothing more than a child? A place with no deadlines or due dates, a place where you're not an employee, a place where you're not an activist, a place where you're not the glue that holds your family together, a place where you're not desperately trying to find out what's next, a place where you're just you. No responsibilities, no agendas, just sitting with Jesus as a child of God. I kind of struggle to admit this, but I love AMC. I love that Nicole Kidman intro. I'm sad they tweaked it a little bit. But when I go to the movies, it's like that one place I can go where I feel like I don't have to be a pastor. I don't have to be a father. I don't have to do this or that. I can just be myself and enjoy whatever's going on in front of me. But as amazing as AMC is, it still isn't the answer for my soul's cry. Because there's really only one place where we can go, where we're fully seen and known, where our souls can get the tender care and love and rest that it so desperately needs, and it's at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is asking some of us today, will you sit with me for a little while? Here's what happens when we sit with Jesus even if it's just for a moment. Isaiah 40, 30 through 31, the prophet Isaiah, he says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who wait on the Lord will find their strength renewed. Jesus takes our burdens of weariness and gives us rest. And listen, when I read this, it makes me think, I think Jesus is less concerned with us just getting through life, always relying on him, and more concerned with teaching us how to run and not grow weary. What if Jesus is using the season of weariness to teach us something? What if Jesus is teaching us what it means to live in his rhythm of rest instead of going through these cycles of overworking and burnout, of damaging our souls and then coming to the well to heal? What if Jesus is teaching us to live in such a way, in a rhythm, you know, like Dune 2, the sand walk? What if Jesus is teaching us to walk in a way where we are constantly plugged into the source of rest and life that our souls so desperately need? Because the truth is, we can't afford to disengage with the world right now. We need the church to keep showing up. We need the church to keep speaking out. We need the church to prophesy life in our day and age. The goal is not to disengage from the world, but to engage with the one who has overcome it so that we can go and bring hope to this weary world, so that we can come and bring life and rest to this weary world, to sit at the well with the one who has experienced it all, to receive the rest of the one who has shouldered its burden, and to allow his strength to pick us back up. In the words of the psalmist, Psalm 73, 25 through 26, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So this week, no grand action plan, no gimmicks, no bells and whistles, just an invitation. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and it's the invitation Jesus gives us today. So why don't we close our eyes as we hear this invitation from Jesus? This is the invitation of the Lord. This is the invitation of God. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, right now, what if God is here in this moment? What if God is here in this very room with you? And what if his invitation extended to you today is something you can respond to right now? Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Right now, would you sit with him for a little while? Would you lay your burdens down at his feet? And would you ask God, can I receive your rest and your life? Can you take my burden and give me your yoke? Give me your portion. Would you give rest to my soul? Right now, just interact with God. I believe for some of you, God is speaking to you in this very moment. For some of you, God is just acknowledging what you're going through right now, saying, I know how tired you are. I know how weary you've been. I've been weary too. I've been tired too. I'm not unfamiliar with the things that you're experiencing. I'm here with you right now. I just sense that some of you need to meet with tired Jesus today. The Savior who is broken, the Savior who is weak, the Savior in tears, the Savior who is weary and hungry and tired and thirsty. Some of you just need to know that that Savior sits with you in the middle of your weariness. And the last thing I just feel like I want to address, I just sense that so many of us are tired of being tired. And we've like tried so many things to snap ourselves out of it. We've tried so many things to try to remedy the weariness of our hearts. And I just hear the invitation from God, give me your burdens. Come to me and I will give you rest. Right now, God, we lay down before you, even our own striving and our own efforts. We lay before you our weariness and our burdens. We lay before you the brokenness of our hearts and the tiredness of our souls. And God, would you give us rest? Give us what only you can give. Give us the water of eternal life. Give us the water that quenches the thirst of our souls. We need you right now. Jesus, give us your rest and give us your life. God, we thank you so much that you're here with us. I pray that we would walk away feeling renewed strength, renewed hope, renewed rest. We give you the highest praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.